Blog Talk Radio.
I don't even know what day it is.
It is Tuesday.
Is it already?
It is Tuesday, the 14th of June already.
Boo. We got 2 more months of summer. I don't want it. I don't want it.
No, I don't want it either.
Oh, did you just yawn on the air?
I did. I'm sorry, people. I know y'all are probably already tired. It's lunchtime. It's only Tuesday.
You people, come and get your ginger. Come and get her. Oh, that was so out of order. Oh,
you better bring pizza. All I gotta say.
Or machete, one of the two. If you don't bring the pizza, come with the machete. Oh, God, it is too hot outside. I just came indoors. I just want to tell y'all the devil was laughing at me standing under a tree. He thought it was hilarious. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It is lunch with Ginger and Corey, and I am the devil.
I am an angel.
On what planet?
I know, I was like, great, lightning is hitting me.
The lightning is coming, it's coming.
What's that, what that tingly feeling is?
Ah, yes. Sometimes lightning is fun. I would welcome it right about now. It's too hot. Oof. I need a summer home in, like, Canada somewhere.
Yes, I like that idea. We should go in and buy a summer home in Canada somewhere.
You know it's bad when I want to go to Canada. Not that I have anything against you Canadian people.
Canoops.
I'm talking to a specific group of Canadians, namely those boys over at Radioactive Nerd. Yes, I'm talking to you. Hello, Canadians. Dirty Canadians. Okay.
Dirty Canadians.
Dirty Canadians. Oh, how are you feeling today, Ginger?
Girl, I'm so tired, and I still got this headache.
We have a permanent headache. It's called perma headache when you live in Texas in the summer.
Something. Ugh. Yay. But I've got carpet in my office. Yay.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. I was like, wait a minute, daytime. Don't say that.
I was being good.
Okay, I have no idea what I'm doing, so let's jump into the news.
News, yay.
Okay, are you?
Okay, I can grab some news. All right, I want to start out with, I wouldn't call it good news, and it's definitely, anyways. All right, so GamePolitics.com, yesterday, actually, after we all logged off for the evening, they pulled this story from MSNBC, women who killed game developer get prison time.
Wait. Okay, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was like, I don't remember the story. Go ahead. Tell them about it.
Last September, there was a horrible crash, and we lost a very good developer from Relic Entertainment. All right, so let me just read the story. Two women are going to prison for a September 2010 crash that took the life of a prominent Relic Entertainment developer, injured his pregnant wife, and killed two passengers in the woman's Chevy Blazer. The two women were found guilty of 3 counts of vehicular homicide each, with the driver, Jordan Weichert, either way, sentenced to 8 years in prison, and the passenger, Samantha Bowling, receiving a 5-year sentence. Wood was the lead developer on Company of Heroes Online. The accident happened on Highway 20 near North Whidbey, Washington, on September 3rd, 2010. According to the police reports, Weichert tried to remove her sweater while driving her Chevy Blazer and asked the passenger, Bowling, to steer. This led to the confusion that caused the driver to lose control of the vehicle, which veered to the left and into oncoming traffic. The Blazer went straight for the station wagon driven by Brian Wood of Vancouver, British Columbia. Wood had the presence of mind to swerve the vehicle enough so that his pregnant wife was spared most of the impact.
Oh.
He was killed instantly. Two passengers in the Blazer were also killed. Wood's wife, Erin Wood, also sustained some injuries. Police also found drugs and a handgun at the scene near the defendant's Blazer.
Oh,
Yeah, both women pled guilty to 3 counts of vehicular manslaughter. During the sentencing hearing, both expressed deep regret at the tragedy that killed 3 people and left a pregnant woman injured. Deep regret for being stupid. The atmosphere of the sentencing hearing was emotional for all involved, including the judge. Island County Superior Court Judge Alan Hancock said that this was a tragedy for all involved and hoped that the young women would give back to the community after they served their sentence to atone for what they had done. Since the crash, Mrs. Woods gave birth to their daughter, Sierra Grace, and is doing everything she can to keep Ryan's memory alive, but it's not easy. She expressed the sorrow and loss she felt at the sentencing hearing, along with her father-in-law. She said, "The first thought I have when I wake up in the morning is that he is gone, and the last thought before I fall asleep at night is the same." Woods' father, Ed Woods, said, "Brian was hoping for a daughter, and he never knew he had one."
Oh.
Yeah. The writer goes on to say, "It's a sad, senseless tragedy that was caused because the driver was distracted and foolish. The lesson here is that distracted drivers are dangerous to everyone on the road. Lesson is also here to don't be stupid." Why would you do that? Why couldn't you just pull over and take off your sweater? How hard is it to pull over to the side of the road? It takes 2 seconds.
You know, a lot of people, most people in the world, 95% of the world's population thinks that they're invincible when they're driving. Oh, it's okay if I put mascara on. It's not going to happen to me. You know, I'm not going to slam into anybody. Nobody's going to kill me. No. I can text while I drive. Nothing's going to happen to me. Yeah, it will. So I'm going to warn some of you out there once again who have cell phones. You're ever in a car with me and I see you pulled out the text, say goodbye to your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to throw it out the window. Or here's your other option. Corey, will you tweet or text back to this person, blah, blah, blah. I will happily text for you in the car what you say word for word. I type 70 words a minute with 90% accuracy, damn it. I will be happy to text for you if you need me to. So just let me know. But if you pull it out and start texting, I'm taking the phone and it's going out the window. You can fight with me about it later, but at least we'll be alive to fight. So no. And taking off clothes while you're driving, no. No, no. Either take them off before you get in the car or wait till you get to the stop sign. I mean, there's stop signs are your friends, people. Stop at the stop sign. Then you can take your sweater off. And if you're sitting there a little too long, people may honk at you. But, again, you're alive.
Exactly. As long as you're sitting still, nobody's going to die, you know?
We hope not anyway. But, yeah. Horrible. That makes me angry.
It is horrible.
Little girl will never know her dad because you took off your sweater. So
mm-hmm.
People, pay attention. It's serious out there. All right. Well, some of you fangirls out there, take a deep breath. You're having some issues over Battlefield 3 pre-orders. So DICE has basically put up a press release or a blog post on their official blog, and they wanted to answer a few questions for you because some of you out there are really freaking out. Breathe, and let me see if we can help you guys out. You guys wanted to know, is the physical warfare pack available in all regions or just in the UK? It'll be available worldwide. It was just announced first in the UK. Breathe. Exact details for other countries and retailers will be announced soon. Again, breathe. Deep breath. Okay, you also wanted to know, will the physical warfare pack imbalance the game? Well, they're saying that there's 3 exclusive items in the physical warfare pack that are specifically chosen not to be overpowered or imbalanced or break the game in any way. Come on, calm down. Woosah, breathe with me.
Breathe. It'll be okay.
And, of course, this is an easy one to answer. Why do I want the physical warfare pack? Well, of course, owning these systems will give you more varied arsenal, but it will not give you a significant advantage on the battlefield. So you got to bring your skills regardless. So, but you still want the pack so you have more, you know, more guns to choose from. Show off.
Exactly.
Okay, so you can go over and check that out at the Battlefield blog, which is blogs.battlefield.ea.com/, you know, go find it. It's on their website. And we're not putting that one up because it is EA. I'm just helping you guys out. You know how we feel about EA. So you can go hunt that down. I'm going to pick up Battlefield, and I'll buy an EA game. I just try not to give them much promotion since they've not understood the power of the woman yet.
Yet. She says that. Yet.
Yet. Most of you are beginning to understand the power of the woman gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what you got, Ginger? What else you got?
I have got all kinds of fun stuff, except that this is not so much fun. This is actually kind of bad. THQ Closing Chaos and Digital Warrington Studios.
No! Why didn't they wait till after they released a game or two? Because we know it was coming.
Yeah. Well, the story is coming from GamePolitics.com, and it looks like they pulled it from Gamma Sutra. THQ is in the process of closing Digital Warrington and Chaos Studios, two of its wholly owned development studios.
Oh, not good.
The Chaos Studio closure had been hinted at by THQ earlier this year, as the company eyed moving its developmental operations to the Montreal area, where it already has a presence. According to a statement, they said THQ continues its strategy of aligning the best industry talent with the company's marquee franchise. In March, THQ laid off 17 employees, leaving the studio about 70 developers strong. Today, those 70 employees are out of work. Though THQ said that it is hiring for its Montreal, and all employees that have been let go may apply for jobs there. Of course, that is little comfort for those that can't afford to relocate to Canada.
Really?
Over 45 employees were employed at THQ's Digital Warrington Studio, formerly known as Juiced Games. It is best known for the Juiced series of racing games. According to an estimate by Gamma Sutra, the company had around 45 employees before it was shut down. Digital Warrington's most recent game, Red Faction Battlegrounds, was mostly panned by critics and sold around 2,000 units. Homefront did considerably better, moving an estimated 1 million copies worldwide in its first 10 days of release.
Oh, man.
I'm so sorry, you guys out there. Man, that is horrible. Oh, I would not want to be out of... Oh, no. Would not want to be out of a job. Yeah.
70 people out of work. Well,
and even if they are looking for developers, I mean, how many more can they be looking for in Montreal, you know?
Oh, true. Well, they can always check our job boards. That's what I just tweeted.
That is true. GameAndHX.com. Head over there.
Plenty of jobs. Still here in the U.S. You know what? Texas is where it's at. This Advil is starting to get to me. Okay. Lovely headaches. Lovely. Not even gaming can cure a headache. Did y'all know that? I tried till 4:30 this morning.
I know.
Well, here's more bad news. This is a day for bad news. We'll try to find you guys some good news. So we'll go ahead and bring you down, then we'll lift you up before we go. But you all should know, this is probably one of the reasons why the people at THQ are not having a job this morning. Our game sales here in the U.S. hit the lowest since October of 2006.
Ouch.
The U.S. box video game sales in May of this year totaled around $743.1 million, and it had a 14% decline on the same period in 2010, and the lowest since, of course, October 2006. This is, of course, according to data released by the NPD Group, which reported that software sales were down 19% to $375.8 million, and hardware down 5% to $228.9 million, and accessories down to 6%. Down 6% to $114 million. That could be that you guys are just making better software and hardware, maybe. Maybe we don't need to be, you know, replacing or buying it as often. I'm trying to put a positive spin on this, people. keeping in mind that these sales figures represent just the new physical portion of the market for video game hardware, software, and accessories, not the growing portion of the industry that is comprised mostly of the digital format and digital content distribution. May 2011 was the lowest month of sales for the industry since 2006, and they said a light slate of new releases at the heart of this month's performance. Sales of the PlayStation 3, PSP, and Xbox 360 were all up over May of last year, with the 360 seeing the highest increase. NPD also noted that sales of the 3DS were light, but with next Sunday's release of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D, we'll begin to see a slate of strong content come to the market for the 3DS, which should help significantly boost the sales of the hardware during the remainder of 2011, and I so badly want one if I could. Me and Link.
Yes, you and Link. Mm-hmm. You cannot be without your Link.
That's right. He's right here on my desk looking at me, holding up the sword. I know, baby. We got people to cut today. Anyway, combined sales of the PS3 and the Xbox 360 are up 28% for the month and 21% for the year-to-date. Although the declines in console hardware sales in 2011 are attributed to the Wii, the platform remains the best-selling of this generation at nearly 36 million installed in the U.S.
That is a huge number.
NPD has suggested that the current rate of growth and decline that the Wii will still maintain the lead in the console space, Although the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 have closed the gap a little bit, they're saying, of course, new details on hardware introduction could certainly change the picture. They're saying, keep in mind also that the purchases of content are increasingly occurring in digital format and may saw a notable digital release in the second map pack called for Call of Duty, Black Ops, which was titled Escalation. And undoubtedly, the shift this shifted some dollars that might have been spent on new physical content in the retail. The biggest release of this month, of course, do I really need to tell you? L.A. Noire.
Yes.
Followed by Brink. And ironically, Ginger's favorite, Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. Then Portal 2.
Yay!
And then Portal 2, and then Mortal Kombat. And those are actually the top five. Zumba Fitness is right there at number 7.
I can't believe that's beating Portal 2.
Lego Pirates of the Caribbean? Are you kidding me? It was released on every platform, not 2 or 3.
Oh, this is true. This is very true.
And when I say every platform, that's the Wii, the 360, the DS, the 3DS, the PS3, the PSP, and the PC.
Wow, that's a lot of releases.
That's a lot of releases. You also have Just Dance 2 in the top 10, and Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars, also released on every platform. Amazing, right?
That is amazing.
Lovely, lovely. All right. Well, keep buying the games, people. We need the money.
Yes, we do. Keep buying. Keep buying. Pull out those wallets and just keep on going. All right. Stories of, oh, my God, I'm afraid this is going to cause trouble. Crossfire gears up for June Navy SEAL update, announces the death of Blacklist leader via Osama bin Laden spoof video. Yeah. A North American publisher and distributor of interactive entertainment media released today a video in anticipation of an upcoming June update for its hit military first-person shooter, Crossfire. The video, a spoof on U.S. President Barack Obama's... I can't talk today. Barack Obama's historic announcement...
She said Barack.
Oh! She said Barack. I was like, holy God.
Secret Service is coming down on us with the hammer.
Bring me pizza. All right, so the video, a spoof on U.S. President Barack Obama's historic announcement of Osama bin Laden's death, announces the death of Ghost, the leader of one of the game's two main mercenary forces, while hinting at new content to be featured in the upcoming patch. The Navy SEAL update will be available as a free DLC update in June and will feature content relating to the operation resulting in Ghost's death. You can watch the video. Actually, I think I have it up on GameNatrix.com, so head over there. I won't give you their website. Global Risk, the mercenary corporation headed by Sir Alex Royd, has seemingly dealt a crushing blow to terrorist group Blacklist today with the announcement that Blacklist leader Ghost has been killed. The Blacklist leader Blacklist leader was killed in an operation conducted by Navy SEAL operatives who engaged a compound in the Middle East where Ghost was rumored to be hiding out. The announcement of Ghost's death, made public today by Global Risk leader Alex Royd, has sent shockwaves throughout the Crossfire universe. So more maps, more guns, more modes, and more headshots. Headshots! Yeah, baby! Join millions of players in the ultimate online military FPS experience. Crossfire is a free online military first-person shooter for the PC platform. Enlist today and start climbing the ranks. Crossfire is a free-to-download and play game. You can visit Crossfire homepage at crossfire.z8games.com.
Ah... Well, lovely people. Lovely, lovely news. All right. So, wait a minute. I think I had something yesterday I wanted to share. What was it? Ah, Reverb Games sent this lovely little PSA over to us. You Star Trek people are going to love this.
I saw that. Oh, my God.
Sir Patrick Stewart. Yes. The man who is, I forgot what his name is on Star Trek. Yeah. I forgot what his name is. Is it Picard?
Captain Picard,
who is also Professor Xavier. We forgot Professor Xavier from the X-Men. Yes, many, many accolades. Is now going to be lending his voice to the upcoming War of the Worlds video game. Yeah.
Wow.
He's going to narrate the unforgettable, that's what they're calling it, side-scrolling experience that's coming to Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network. This is from Ocean Interactive, and they're very happy that they've managed to snag Patrick Stewart and his voice talents. Again, this is supposed to be a cinematic side-scroller. I don't know how they're going to do it, but who knows? It may work out well. Again, this one is also still based on the classic novel by H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds. It showcases his distinct voice. He has a very distinct, lovely voice as a narration for the game, which follows one man's experience in 1950s London during a decimating alien Alien Invasion. Ah, this sounds interesting. Known to millions, of course, as Captain Jean-Luc Picard in the popular TV show Star Trek: The Next Generation, as well as his performance as Professor Charles Xavier in the X-Men. I loved him in that film franchise. Stewart has enjoyed. I'm just running all these together. Y'all need to stop me. Stewart has enjoyed tremendous success over his decades-long film career, including his Emmy and Golden Globe nominations. However, providing narration for The War of the Worlds is an experience that harkens back to his childhood, he says. He says, as a young boy, I remember watching The War of the Worlds so many times I was quoting the lines. He said, the alien invasion both terrified and fascinated me, and the movie has stuck with me since then. Now being part of this project will provide a new way for gamers around the world to experience a fresh new take on a classic. The World of Worlds is a dark and breathtaking new vision inspired by the classic H.G. Wells novel, retold as a single-player 2D action-adventure. The gameplay narrative parallels the timeline and events from the 1953 movie adaptation, which introduces a new story arc, characters, locations, and subplots, with gameplay paying homage to the classic cinematic performance such as Flashback, and Out of This World. Those are two great games. If you've not played them, find it. You'll need a Sega emulator to do so. Players follow the exploits of unknown every man struggling to escape the Martian invasion of London and rescue his family. Forced to think through insurmountable odds, players will outsmart an army of alien tripods, spiders, and drones as they make their way through a landscape of total devastation. The War of the Worlds will release for Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network later in 2011, and of course you can check for more information at their website, otherocean.com. I am kind of excited since they said Flashback, wow, was an amazing side-scrolling game. I'm not talking about Contra, people, because I know that's where your head went, where you're just running and shooting stuff in front of you. Mm-hmm. Flashback actually had a fantastic story, so if they're doing it in that vein, it should be just epic, I hope. Anyway, please don't screw it up.
I know there are going to be a ton of fanboys that are going to want to play this. You want to play it?
I want to play it. I like Patrick Stewart's voice, but I want to play it because I love War of the Worlds, one of the best stories. I even liked the remake with Tom Cruise in it, which is rare that I like a remake of a movie. It was actually good.
And that Tom Cruise is in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan when he's not on screen. When he's acting, I think there's, bar none, he's one of the best actors out there. But personally, I don't want to hear him talk.
No, he's a bit nuts.
I don't want to hear him say anything. I don't want him to come stand next to me and just sign this and go over there. Can you give this to him, tell him, sign it, and then bring it back is how I feel about Tom Cruise. But when he's on the screen, I'll go see anything he's in. He's excellent. Wonderfully redone. I like the story, the whole. What was it? My favorite scene when Dakota Fanning, have you seen the movie?
No.
Okay, well, there's a part that you'll see when he's down in the basement, Dakota Fanning's his daughter, and you need to watch it. I'm trying not to give it away. I know some people haven't seen it.
I'm totally going to admit, being a big old pansy, I remember the TV show growing up. Every Saturday night, and scared the ever-living bejesus out of me. So, no, I don't want to see it.
This one wasn't so much as scary, but just kind of sad, and, oh, my God, what if this happened? You know, Alien, we talk about the zombie apocalypse, but Alien Invasion would be pretty devastating, too. So I was like, yeah. Ooh, this is, I don't like this. Oh, but it's good.
And what's worse is I'm now going to have that song about Captain Picard going through my head the rest of the day. I'm already seeing it, and I hear it in my head. It's like, oh,
his voice, he has an excellent voice.
Yes, yes, he does. He has an excellent voice. He's got that sexy old man voice. All right, so RuneFest 2011 announced as Jagex invites players to celebrate 10 years of RuneScape. Jagex announces plans for the second real-world player event for the valued RuneScape community. I can't believe y'all are still playing this game. All right, so Jagex Games Studios, the UK's largest independent games company, today announced plans for its second real-world RuneFest celebration. Building on the success of last year's incredible event, coupled with the celebration surrounding the RuneScape's 10th anniversary, RuneFest 2011 is set to be even bigger, better, and longer than last year's inaugural event to allow fans to completely immerse themselves in the experience and live RuneScape for a whole weekend. RuneFest 2011 will place on Saturday the 29th and Sunday the 30th of October at the old Billingsgate in central London. London. I can't talk today. Oh, my gosh. Each floor will be themed and feature an array of entertainment guaranteed to satisfy even the most ardent RuneScape fans, including many of the popular activities from last year's event, such as the Insider Sessions, Developer Meet and Greet Sessions, and the Community Management Gaming Zone, plus a host of new features for 2011, including an exclusive late-night party. Further details of what fans can expect at the event will be announced prior to the release of tickets, which will be available to purchase from Monday, the 27th of June, 2011. Tickets are priced at, I think that's pounds, £59 for a day ticket, either the Saturday or Sunday, or $99 for a weekend ticket. The late night party tickets will be priced at £49 and is open exclusively for RuneFest attendees. All prices include booking fees and taxes. In addition to the standard tickets, those wishing for a VIP RuneFest experience will have the chance to purchase a VIP ticket priced at £179. I think that is. Or euros, whatever. This VIP ticket will include priority seating for all presentations, private insider sessions with senior developers, signed concept art, and a private JMod staffed area with its own VIP bar. The ticket will also guarantee access to the exclusive after party, plus a few surprises that will be kept a secret until the event. RuneFest celebrates the entire worldwide RuneScape community, bringing the RuneScape universe to life, including huge themed areas for players to experience real-world RuneScape activities. This year's event is of particular significance as RuneScape celebrates its 10th anniversary, and many of the activities, talks, and events will be themed to celebrate the last decade of development for this hugely popular game. Mark Gerhard, CEO of JGIX, says, "Last year's RuneFest was such an incredible experience that we simply had to make RuneFest an annual event. The loyal RuneScape community who attended really helped to make the event a huge success. For RuneFest 2011, we are planning to do everything on a grander scale, make everything bigger and even more action-packed. Last year's event really demonstrated what a passionate community we have. With that in mind, we have hunted down a larger venue for this year so that even more players will be able to attend. Tickets will sell out fast, so my advice to those wanting to attend, get your tickets as soon as they go on sale and join us for a party you'll never forget." With an ever-expanding schedule of events and competitions, fans are encouraged to visit the RuneFest 2011 website, which is runefest.com, and sign up to receive regular email updates to make sure they don't miss out on the chance to be part of the celebrations.
Yay.
Way to go, RuneScape. 10 years. That's, wow. I knock y'all, I really do. I'm not a fan of the game, but 10 years, that's impressive. And Corey either just muted herself, or I went DC, or something happened.
All right, let's jump to our next. Let's see what I got. Majesco.
Majesco? What does Majesco do?
They killed the rabbit. No, Majesco. No, they didn't. Well, they're talking about their paintball franchise.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Paintball 2 is now available on your PlayStation Network. I don't know. I don't know why. They've announced today that they're releasing Greg Hastings Paintball 2. Yeah. They've released the game last year on the Wii and the 360, and of course it's just catching up to PlayStation 3 this year, and they've added the move capability. I'm trying to muster up some excitement about this. I'm just not. Paintball is only fun to me when you're actually doing it. You know?
I don't know, right?
They're saying, of course, as it's the next iteration of the highly successful paintball franchise, Greg Hastings Paintball 2 features PlayStation Move technology, thrusting players into the middle of the action like no other paintball game has. Are there other paintball games? The game features more than 10 single and multiplayer game modes, each staged in all new paintball fields based on authentic locations around the world, featuring three new event branch tournaments, Speedball, Rec Ball, and Tournament Woods Ball. Greg Hastings Paintball 2 arms players with loads of classic and cutting-edge gear and guns, including paint grenades and rocket launchers. Serious ballers can even become a general manager of their own 10-player team composed of professional and amateur paintball players. Gamers can trade players, issue commands, and use their earnings from the field to build each player's individual stats so the overall team is that much more competitive.
The better the team assembled, the more tournaments the player stands to win, providing him or her with added cash to buy new gear. Players, they can also buy new player and players and skill updates. Upgrades. Wow. Prove yourself the ultimate paintball wizard by taking your team online to compete with up to 14 players via the PlayStation Network. Greg Hastings Paintball is, of course, again, available on the PlayStation Network for $19.99. Media outlets interested... Oh, never mind. You're not supposed to know that part.
No, you're not. Don't you hate it how it sneaks up on you sometimes?
I saw it, and I was saying in my head, don't read that, and I just went right into it. Yeah, I'm
sorry, people. Y'all don't get that information.
I was going to say maybe I'll check it out, but we don't have a move, and I don't know if I want to play this at all. I don't know if I play it. I'm like, why would I want to play paintball? I'm sorry, Reverb. You guys are great, and I love you, but I'm not so sure about this one. I'm just not.
Unless you find a way for it to actually leave a bruise on me so I know I got hit.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to do. I like the whole physicality of it. You know, you can't hit people when you play games like that, but paintball is satisfying.
Exactly.
Now, laser tag, a whole other thing, too.
Speaking of shooting people, blameless.com.
Lovely segue, lovely.
Yes, a 2 million sign up for Call of Duty Elite Beta. No matter what some fans may think of Activision's new Call of Duty Elite subscription service, at least 2 million gamers are interested in it. According to Activision, around 2 million gamers have signed up for the Call of Duty Elite beta test, set to happen on July 14th. Elite will support Call of Duty Black Ops first, followed by Modern Warfare 3 when it releases later this year. Activision's Dan Emmerich, I may have said your name wrong, I'm sorry, announced the news via his One of Swords blog, and urged players to join up, noting that 2 million players is a mere fraction of the 30 million that play the game online. In a subsequent post, Emmerich said that it is important for people that want to change the service for the better to participate now because it will have a strong influence on the final product. And he's right. I'm still not going to sign up for it because I think it's stupid.
I'm going to reserve comment. Okay.
I don't want Facebook in my Call of Duty. All I
got
to say.
You got your Facebook in my Call of Duty. You got your Call of Duty in my Facebook. How about that?
Exactly.
Well, more people jumping on board with the Wii U. Yeah.
It looks so much fun.
Yeah. While the Unreal developers are not quite ready to jump on the engine yet, Crysis 2 developer Crytek has confirmed that it'll provide support for the Wii U and that a version of CryEngine is already running on the system. Let me snap for that.
Very nice.
The support for popular middleware Unreal Engine 3 is still yet to be confirmed by Epic Games, but if we're getting Epic Game on there, more than likely they'll jump on board. CEO, I'm going to screw up his name, Savat Yearly? is saying that Crytek's support for Wii U is definitely going to happen. We aren't showing it, but we're pretty much running it already. Speaking as part of the forthcoming interview over at GamesIndustry.biz, Yearly claimed that the support was already part of a generally more aggressive business approach for CryEngine 3, which will see the company expanded to support Kinect, as well as a smartphone and tablet devices. He says, how far we've gone and what we mean is something we can't say more about now. Wii U support for Unreal Engine 3 has already been implied by the announcement of such games as Batman Arkham City and Aliens Colonial Marines. Ooh, we didn't hear anything about that. That's just wrong. How about y'all just... Yeah, we'll talk about that later. They also use the technology on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 platforms. Epic Games Vice President Mark Rain has stopped short of confirming support, though, saying only that to develop... Our friends over at developonline.net said that it's not an illogical conclusion to make, so most likely it'll happen. Although the Wii U is generally agreed to be at least as powerful as the current gen Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, Nintendo has not released any detailed technical specs. Although we did provide you with a few of those, but those are speculation. And even still, if those are the specs, it's pretty damn powerful. As a result, the degree to which its performance might exceed the existing HD formats remains unclear. Comments from developers have varied considerably on the subject, but speaking to
industry gamers, Stern, a G analyst, who's an analyst, and Arvid Bhatia recently commented, some of the developers that we spoke to indicated to us that the console will have 50% more processing power compared to the PlayStation 3 and Xbox.
Oh, wow.
This, but still not confirmed by Nintendo. Of course, the Japanese Garden Tech demo that we saw at E3 did appear to surpass the abilities of current generation hardware, but Nintendo has not yet released any media of the real-time demonstration. See, we're getting mixed stories from that. Blaster was saying he heard people said it wasn't as pretty, and then some people are saying it's gorgeous. I'm wondering if people had on their glasses. I need to see some, you know, some other information. Do you have LASIK surgery? Did you wear glasses when you were watching? Do you not have glasses? How far away were you? Were you actually looking, or were you texting your girlfriend or your boyfriend? What was going on? I need to know these things. I need to know.
Were you texting your boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought about that, but that is something you probably need to know.
Yeah, because that could affect how it looked to you, or if you even like Nintendo, which is it. I think the hardest thing for, well, I'm not even going to call those people journalists, because journalists are completely objective for the most part. You go in, whether you personally like it or not, you go in to look and say, tell other people, this is what it looks like. It looks good or it looks bad. But some people tend to say bad things because they don't like the company.
Well, that's not good. Y'all shouldn't do that.
Nope. We don't do that.
No. No, no. Mm. All right. I have got some news, speaking of reading stuff that I find annoying, but hey, I'm going to read it anyways. Top players advanced from 2011 Pokemon video game Washington, D.C. area regional championships for a chance at national title.
Stop it. You said Pokemon. No.
I know. My poor head already. 48 competitors earned invitations to compete in national tournament in Indianapolis this July. After hours of intense competition against some of the best Pokemon video game players at the 2011 Pokemon video game Washington, D.C. Area Regional Championships in Chantilly, Virginia, 48 competitors nabbed invitations to compete in the 2011 Pokemon video game National Championships July 8th through the 10th in Indianapolis, Indiana. 16 players from 3 different age divisions, junior, senior, and masters, used remarkable skill and strategy, edging out hundreds of players from across the Washington, D.C. area and beyond at the Duels Expo Center this past weekend. These players will now head to Indianapolis to battle against some of the country's best Pokemon video game players, with an eye towards advancing to the 2011 Pokemon Video Game World Championships this August in San Diego, California. There's a whole list of these winners. I'm not going to read them right now. They're over on GameAndMatrix.com, though, if you'd like to check them out. One of the oldest, or sorry, the youngest is age 8, and the oldest is 18. So, yeah, way to go, guys and girls. That's pretty awesome.
Well, speaking of old school things and games and whatnot, the Tetris franchise and licensing works are launching.
Yes,
launching dozens of new merchandise categories at the Las Vegas Licensing International Expo. I know, you don't put the two together. Blue Giant Software, the company that manages the exclusive licensing rights to the Tetris brand, announced today that due to strong consumer demand for Tetris-based products, Blue Planet Software and its merchandising partner, Licensing Works, will be expanding the Tetris licensing program. The Tetris franchise will be showcasing and previewing new products at this year's Licensing International Expo. They'll be at booth 5628. Of course, this takes place in Las Vegas from June 14th to 16th, and Ginger and I will be happy to show up if you'll get us a nice suite, and we'll need that to be at the top, the penthouse, and we'll need to not be bothered while we're in the casino.
Yeah. Yes, we will come. We will flash the fluffy cakes around.
Be happy to flash them. Of course, Tetris will have 12 new product categories hitting the shelves between now and Christmas. Let's see. Looks like they're going to do a tabletop, which will probably end up at PAX on next year, not this year, unless they bring it there. Who knows? There'll be a board game, dice, and single-player strategy games, lottery ticket programs, T-shirts, mugs, wall graphics, furniture. That's interesting. Novelty watches, silicone bracelets, just to name a few. Negotiations are now underway also to produce
silly bands.
Negotiations, are now underway to produce Tetris-branded consumables, slot machines, novelty plush and other room decor, stationary items, and a full line of apparel and accessories. Tetris has, of course, been the best-selling mobile game on Verizon wireless phones for more than 5 years. This is from Tom Villa, who's the Director of Business Development at Verizon Wireless. He said the Tetris brand is a gaming legend that is to the test of time and is as relevant today with consumers as in every demographic. That's why Tetris is one of the most popular casual video games in the world. You know, a lot of gamers don't think of Tetris as a casual game. This casual game thing just came about. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Tetris would be it. Pac-Man is a casual game. I hate to tell you people, that's what it is.
Yep. I remember when Tetris was like the game to be playing, and everybody had an offshoot of it.
That's right.
Even Mario, Nintendo stuck their finger in it. Tetris, I remember that.
What? That was
Dr. Mario.
Wasn't Tetris on a Nintendo?
Yeah, it was on the NES back in the day.
Yeah. They're also saying by expanding into non-electric merchandising, we have a unique opportunity to broaden our demographic reach and further solidify our brand, something few video games are able to accomplish after 27 years. Ha! Amazing. Tetris mobile games, which are developed and published by mobile division of EA, have reached over 132 million paid downloads and are available on nearly every interactive game platform in existence worldwide.
Wow.
Damn. You know what? I have it on my phone. I'm not going to lie.
Yes, I play it on my phone at least once a day.
The Tetris brand is a lifestyle brand, and a new merchandise product category will soon be in retail stores around the world.
Sorry, lifestyle brand.
I need you to correct that. we will have that story up for you. You can read the rest about if you're interested in going to that event and reading about Tetris. I think this is going to kill it, honestly. I think this is going to be overkill. I think a few keychains and some T-shirts would have been good, a mug.
The furniture?
Somebody's going to want the furniture, but I'm talking about the board games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Need to let that.
Tetris board games? That's all right.
I could see a mug, actually. I could actually see it in my head, too, if you, like, it came pack of two and they were fit together like the pieces would be.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yes.
So, yeah, that would be good, but the rest of that, I don't know. Y'all need to think about that.
Yeah. All right, you Tetris people, y'all are odd. All right, so high-tech specs give game developers insight into what players really see. New eye-tracking technology could help video game designers to increase customer satisfaction by improving the in-gaming experience for their players, according to a new report by UserVision, one of Europe's leading independent user experience consultancies. Using the latest eye-tracking glasses, which allow researchers to see exactly what gamers are looking at while playing, being dung. All right. Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get this in 2 minutes, but I'll try. All right. So, UserVision tested the usability of Microsoft's new Kinect for Xbox 360. Kinect uses a 3D camera, and the player controls the game through body and hand movements, which are recognized by gesture control technology. The team of testers discovered that while the Kinect system itself is easy to use and intuitive, the design of the game can negatively impact user experience. Players found that the game design of Reflex Ridge was confusing at many points throughout the setup, the instructions screen, and into the game itself. Additionally, some of the interactions were too responsive and caused many players to make involuntary selection. This resulted in dissatisfaction and impatience. You know you don't want us dissatisfied as gamers.
That's right.
All right, so Simon Duke, usability consultant at UserVision, says the eye tracker technology gives us a real insight into how people really interact with games, what works and what doesn't. Using eye tracking glasses, we can identify which instructions are ignored and which are misunderstood. If people try games and don't like them, they probably won't try again, so it's important they enjoy it the first time. This is an important tool for designers who should be using this information to improve their communication with players, in particular to help novice gamers quickly see what they can do to improve their in-game and so enjoy the game more. All right, so pretty much it looks like this technology just allows game companies to see what they're doing wrong.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I think I have the full report up on this on GamingMatrix.com if you want to head over and check that out.
What? Here we go. About 1 minute before we go into our lovely break. And I would like to say yesterday while it was hot in the evening, I had my group of little female people, and they made me watch Shrek Ever After, and it was very good. I like one part in particular. I'm all about some girl power.
I don't know if I've seen that one yet.
Oh, Miss Fiona was awesome. You girls out there, take the little girls to see that. That's a good girl power thing. She comes over the hill with the hair blowing in the wind with the warrior outfit on.
Oh, yeah, I've not seen that one. I want to see that one.
It's like, work, Fiona, work.
Fiona is awesome. I love Fiona. And Shrek is just hilarious.
And she kicked him in the face. It was funny. I had to give it away.
It was
well, of the places she could have kicked him, I guess the face is on his.
Yes, yes, knowing those.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I am in love with you.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Guys, we've got about 17 seconds left live. Remember, you can find us at gamergirls.com, gamergirlsradio.com, or blog talk. And we'll see you after the break.
Yay!
Saw you eating those dots in that maze. I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghosts will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you.
Oh no.
Lovely break.
We are back, and wow, I just found the most ethically hilarious story ever.
Well, apparently we're following somebody that loves to talk about boobs on Twitter, so let me get rid of them.
Wow.
I am always amazed. How do we pick up these people?
I don't know. I blame Blaster.
You know, it might be. He called me last night trying to get me to play something. Yeah. Blaster? No. All right. More news. Are you ready for more news?
I am ready for more news.
Well, this also came in yesterday late. You heard Ginger mention in her story earlier about the Battlefield 3, something was going on. You know, there's a boycott. Did you talk about the boycott?
No, I did not talk about the boycott.
Well, apparently, there is a boycott of Battlefield 3. It's gaining some momentum over on Reddit. Wow. Fans are noting their displeasure, which I told you about earlier, at some of the pre-order goodies EA is offering for those who buy the game early. While pre-order bonuses are nothing new, it often feels like some bonus items can cause an imbalance in the game. Remember, we were talking about that earlier. Give some players advantages in online play. The boycott was started by Reddit user Ramfasteed. I don't know about your name. Here's the opening salvo of his rant against EA. As most of you know, EA recently announced an exclusive DLC for pre-ordering BF3. If you don't purchase a pre-order or limited edition of BF3, you will have to pay extra for the Karkin expansion pack. Well, honey, you're paying for it either way. It's not like they're getting it for free. He goes on to say that the only things not included in the expansion are the guns and ammunition, which he claims creates an unfair advantage for the pre-order customers.
Wow.
Reddit offers post offers some links and Twitter feeds and email addresses of various EA employees. This is not good. This is an update to the page. It leaves readers with something to think about. First, let me finish telling you what else he said. He said, this is a decision made by EA and not DICE. DICE and all of us need your help to get EA to wake up and change their decision. The hive mind of Reddit has a great influence over the internet and a lot of media as well, whether the rest of the world knows it or not. Reddit, of course, he posted this up and left us a little bit to think about is what I just said. I'm crazy. Aspirin. I think many people are missing the point. The point is that we don't want paid DLC that is going to split the community into groups of who does or does not have the DLC. You obviously can't join a server if it's running a map you don't have. Bad Company 2 gave all of its users a DLC for free. Now, I can see EA's reasoning about it if from a console standpoint so they can make a little money off of used games, but there's absolutely no reason for this on PC. Obviously, you can't buy used PC games. EA, if you don't do this for everyone, at least do it for the PC community. Oh, wow, so leave the rest of us out. Throw us under the bus, huh?
I think they need to stop whining.
I do, too. I have seen...
Somebody is working hours and putting in time for this.
To make that DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And the only gripe I have is that the game itself should cost less if you know you're going to release DLC because you're going to want me to buy it. And if I just spent $60 on the game, I'm not spending another $30 on, you know, the next three stories that go along with this and so on and so forth. Because the only reason I have all of the Fable expansion packs is because, and people always watch your Xbox Live channels, is every now and again they're free. They'll give them away free. It usually is like within, you know, hours or days. You have to be paying really close attention. So those were free. I got some of them free, and I think it was like $5 for one or something like that. But I would, yeah. So, but you have to be paying attention to get that. But I don't. It's downloadable content. He's saying, oh, they don't charge for this. How many of you out there have paid for new Halo maps since Halo 2?
This is true.
You had to.
Yeah.
GTA, same thing. When I play with Jay Dukes, when we play multiplayer online, there's a couple of people we play with that don't have some of the Liberty City story, so we have to pick a different map. And it's not a big deal. It doesn't give us an unfair advantage. We just don't play with those because the game usually locks those out. So you have to play with what the other person has. So there's no unfair advantage, I don't think. I would think that DICE would do the same thing everybody else does, meaning if this person doesn't have it, you don't either when you're playing with them.
I think the only imagined unfair advantage that these other people have is that they have the money to buy it, and these people don't want to spend the money for it.
True.
Stop whining, people. It's not pretty.
I'm thinking of like a dozen games where we've gotten pre-order stuff. City of Heroes is another one where they gave you a power before you started the game, and people were bitching then that, oh, you have a power, I don't. It didn't do anything. It just looked different. It gave me no better advantage. In fact, I ran slower, I think, with one of them. My super speed was slower, significantly slower than if I just got it in-game regularly. So why don't y'all wait and see what EA is going to do?
Yeah.
I don't think they're EA is the devil about a lot of things, but come on, you got to pay for your DLC.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can put in time, you need to pay them.
And that's what you get for pointing and laughing at the console gamers. That's what you get.
Uh-huh. Twin Stick, poop 'em up, hitting the Xbox Live Indie Games Marketplace on June 15th. I had to do it. Poopocalypse release trailer smells like a pile of fun.
No.
Oh, yes. Wolfertinger Games' newest release, Poopocalypse, will be available in the Xbox Live Indie Games Marketplace from June 15th, 2011 on. Control a fat, vengeful pigeon going on a pooping spree around the world in this all-new twin-stick poop-em-up.
A pigeon?
Experience the artful flight of an overweight bird and enjoy the power of drowning everything beneath you in massive amounts of white, warm, squishy birdie poo.
Pigeon?
A pigeon.
I know a certain little person in my family that is going to adore that.
Yes.
He has a love of pigeons. I don't know why.
The HD release trailer will give you a tiny spritz of the fun that awaits you. Birds are the new zombie, says Andreas Ackerman, a programmer at the Wolfertinger Games. So we decided to jump this train with a slightly deviant concept. Poopocalypse will feature a unique comic silhouette graphical style, diverse challenges throughout 17 stages, global online scoreboards, a load of trophies, and an original soundtrack by Bastian Kieslinger. There's a free trial version available in the XBLIG marketplace. The full game costs 80 MSP, which is equal to $1. The Poopocalypse is upon us. Time to I can't read that. Poopocalypse is a second installment in a series of deviant indie game concepts following Quizocalypse, which featured zombies who compete for brains in this multiplayer trivia game catering to nerds and geeks. Quizocalypse is also available on Xbox Live Indie Games. You can get Quizocalypse again on the Live Indie Game channel. So head over there and check that out. Again, the name of this was Poopocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. You know it is. That's funny. Come on.
My head hurts. I don't want to.
That's funny.
All right. Well, there's some other juicy, delicious fighting going on. Well, the founder of one of the many new development studios that was acquired by Zynga in recent months has discussed the experience in a new interview, which he describes as a good process. See, yeah, you thought I was going to say something bad. Speaking anonymously to website Business Insider, the unnamed executive repeatedly referred to the speed at which Zynga is able to make and execute decisions. They bought the company, and we didn't even take the day off. Why would you need to? It's just money changing hands. Although not directly critical of the company, the studio head did highlight potential flaws in Zynga's approach. He said they move really fast and they're good at executing, but they just kind of throw bodies at problems. not thought. They're really ruthless with cutting things that don't work. I love a ruthless people that cut. Love it. If a game doesn't work, they kill it. Thank you. They'll throw the resources somewhere else. I definitely get that, said the executive. They've got one or two things right, and they're focused on that. I think a lot of companies do that. They're not worried about the margins, he said. And if they can buy a user on Facebook ad for a dollar and the user nets me a dollar and 3 cents even, then I'll keep buying users until that's positive. Damn straight. Zeniga is making way more money than anybody else, but they're also spending more money than anybody else. So adhering to the old adage, it takes money to make money.
Mm-hmm. It does take money to make money.
So I say go, Zeniga, go. I love ruthless and throat cutting.
Yes.
Do it.
We love some blood all over the place.
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Wait a minute. I may have something else here that I got from directly from, well, I don't know what this is. Go ahead. I think I just marked it wrong or something, so it closed up on me. Go ahead.
All right. I'm just going to read this one because the name amuses me. Twirty, the first Twitter-powered golf game comes to iPhone.
Huh?
Simple. Yeah. Simple Machine LLC is proud to announce the release of Twirty, the first Twitter-powered golf game for iPhone, along with 10 promo codes available on the Twirty App Store download page. Twirty is a simple iPhone golf game with a unique twist. Players use Twitter to move the ball across the course. put simply, Twirty equals Twitter plus golf. To take a swing, players think of a word and type it into Twirty. Then Twirty searches Twitter to find out how many times that word has been tweeted in the past 60 seconds. That number is how far the player's ball travels. For example, Monday morning at 9 a.m. might be the perfect time to use the word coffee, while pizza might do the trick late night on a Friday. But Twirty isn't just about the common weekly trends that naturally occur during the days of the week. Twirty is a live data game, so people are playing with data that is changing every second. What happens when Lady Gaga releases an album or when President Obama addresses the nation? Twirty is a simple but addictive game where players learn about and play with the world around them as it changes in real time. Mm-hmm. Now you can play with what the world is talking about.
Wow. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. One tweet put it best, a digital heroine for people like golf and Twitter and want both at the same time.
I do.
Twirty has been featured by NPR, South by Southwest, Beta.com, 100cheeky.com, and countless other international blogs, and is the brainchild of recent Parsons graduate and 2010 IGF-nominated game designer Kurt Baig. I hope I said your name wrong. I hope I said your name right. Kurt Baig has been pioneering the live data game genre. Twirty was also completed with the help of another Parsons graduate, Ramsey Nasser, who recently developed Zagel, a unique creative coding language. Twirty will be available for purchase for the iPhone iOS 4.0 and later on Thursday, June 16th, 2011, for 99 cents on the App Store. Really did not want to say your name wrong. My bad.
Yes, bad ginger bad. Well, guess what, peoples? It's time for us to leave you again today.
Yay! It's nap time.
Amen for that. I know I'm going to take a nap. I wish I could game, but I just cannot. So does mine. It's time to sleep, and it's hot. It's not funny.
No, and it's not funny. This hot stuff needs to go. I am so over summer. No.
Yeah, I was over summer the first day.
You guys just don't know. If y'all don't live in the heat somewhere, y'all just don't know.
I'm going to put on my bikini again today. That's just going to be my uniform for the rest of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's that song.
I'm saying I'm supporting summer. It's over summer.
We are done with you summer.
Guys, right now.
Down comes an on sticks, but then he kicks like a horse. Whoa, there's a Chinese cigarette case, and the rest you can keep, and the rest you can keep, and the rest you can keep. There's a hole in my neighborhood down which of late I cannot help but fall. There's a hole in my neighborhood down which of late I cannot help but fall.
Ginger. Later, boys and girls.